Okay, the next talk is paper number 122, and it's given by myself. My name is Lynn Reske-Kinney from the Department of Entomology at University of Kentucky. And the title of my talk is Woody Plant Gall Source Sink Relations, Reducing Source Strength Influences Gall Maker's Success. In spite of their prevalence in nature, relatively little is known about the mechanisms associated with woody plant gall induction. We do know that the activity of the gall inducer, and with insect gall makers, we're talking about feeding activity and oviposition activity. This, in essence, commandeers the physiology of the host plant, creating both quantitative and potentially qualitative changes in the plant signaling compounds, which will eventually lead to gall formation. These galls create optimal habitat for the gall-inducing organism, and in addition to altering the signaling compounds and phytohormone concentrations within the plant, also alter the source-sink relations. The woody plant gall maker that we've been evaluating in my lab over the past several years is Dryocosmos coryphilus, the Asian chestnut gall wasp. This is a univoltine cynipid wasp that can utilize virtually all chestnut species as host plants. It was first introduced into North America in the mid-1970s, and since that time has increased its geographic range substantially. The adults are active in early summer and oviposit in the buds. The larvae develop as the buds expand in the spring, and they induce the formation of these circular galls. These galls may contain one to several individual chambers, each chamber containing an individual gall wasp larva. The Asian chestnut gall wasp prevents normal shoot development and twig growth and also causes branch dieback. It also affects flowering and fruit set in the tree and ultimately reduces nut production, and in extreme cases can cause tree mortality. Previous work in my lab has demonstrated that the Asian chestnut gall wasp does alter the total carbon and foliar carbohydrates in the source leaves that feed the gall. And the gall wasp also affects tannin production in a species-specific and tissue-specific manner. And all of these characteristics can alter the resource quality for later feeding herbivores occurring downstream. So we've spent some time elucidating the relationships depicted in this diagram, looking at, again, using the Asian chestnut gall wasp as the gall-inducing organism. We've evaluated plant signaling compounds, focusing first on jasmonic acid. We chose jasmonic acid because it is a key signaling compound in the octadecanoid pathway, which is the pathway regulating vegetative sinks in woody plants. And now we're going to be turning our attention to ethylene, which operates upstream from the octadecanoid pathway. We've demonstrated changes in both hydrolyzable and condensed tannins and done a series of feeding trials to evaluate how these changes will affect later occurring herbivores, looking at gypsy moth, Japanese beetle, and fall webworm. And so we've been able to elucidate some of these relationships. But we realize that these source leaves will also feed back and affect the quality of the resource for the gall maker itself. And it's this relationship that I want to talk about today. And that leads me to my first hypothesis, which is that source strength will alter gall quality and success of the gall inducer. And my second hypothesis is that gall quality will differ among chestnuts. The approach that we used was an even-age common garden experiment where we had two Chinese chestnut varieties growing, Augustinus and Dunstan. Both of these varieties are widely used in nut production. And we sequentially removed the source leaves from the developing galls throughout their development. This was done at 7-day intervals where we removed the source leaves, and concurrently we collected control galls for comparative purposes. At the end of gall development, we harvested all galls and then measured a number of parameters that were compared to control galls. The parameters that we evaluated for external gall characteristics included the leaf area, the gall weight, and the gall volume. And we dissected a subsample of galls and evaluated internal gall characteristics. We looked at the number of chambers, and the number of chambers are an indication of the growth potential for that gall wasp population, because each chamber will contain a gall wasp larva. And we also evaluated the sclerenchyma layer thickness. This is a cross section of a dissected gall with the arrow pointing at the sclerenchyma layer. And this is the tissue that forms the nutritive layer that the gall wasp larva will develop on. And so this is a direct measure of the nutrients available to developing gall wasp larvae. We also evaluated survivorship and parasitism, but I don't have time to talk about that today. So for the first results was that of leaf area. We see a highly significant effect of date, chestnut variety, and treatment for leaf area. And this is to be expected. Remember that the experiment of manipulation that I was conducting is removal of those source leaves. So this is simply a corroboration that the treatment was indeed effective. But if we turn our attention to actual parameters measuring gall quality, we see both gall weight and gall volume were highly significantly affected by date. And this, again, is to be expected because these galls are growing over the duration of their development. And so we would expect to see increases in those parameters. We also see effects of chestnut variety. This was significant for gall weight and marginally so for gall volume. We found no treatment differences for gall weight, but we did see a highly significant effect of treatment on gall volume. So while these main effects are interesting, what's more interesting is the interactions associated with them. And just to use one example, for gall weight, we see a highly significant treatment by date interaction. If we look at the green line, those are the control galls, which increased in weight significantly from the initiation of the experiment to gall collections after gall formation was complete. And the purple line is the experimental galls, which showed absolutely no increase in weight over the duration of the experiment. So removing those source leaves prevented those experimental galls from increasing in a weight in a predictable fashion. If we look at internal gall characteristics, first focusing on the number of chambers, we saw absolutely no effect of date, variety, or treatment on the number of chambers in the galls. And I was a little bit surprised and disappointed at this initially, but I think the explanation for this is that the number of chambers within a gall are determined by the oviposition activity of the female, either by egg laying itself or by the hatch of those eggs. And so this parameter was determined well in advance of any of the experimental manipulations that we conducted. If we look at the sclerenchyma layer thickness, again, we see a highly significant date effect. And again, this shouldn't be surprising because these galls are changing over the course of their development. We also see a highly significant effect of chestnut variety, but no direct treatment effect. But once again, if we look at the interactions associated with this, we see that the galls growing on the Augustinus chestnut reacted quite differently to removal of the source leaves than did the galls growing on the Dunstan chestnut. And this leads me to address my second hypothesis, which was that gall quality will differ among the chestnuts. And this is independent of source strength, so this is an evaluation of the control galls only. And we see that gall weight, volume, the number of chambers, and the thickness of that sclerenchyma layer are greater for Dunstan chestnut than for the Augustinus chestnut. And this is significant for both gall weight and sclerenchyma layer thickness. So this clearly demonstrates that the Dunstan chestnut is a superior host plant for development of Asian chestnut gall wasp larvae. So then to summarize my first hypothesis, which was the hypothesis addressing source strength, we see that reducing source strength by removing the source leaves feeding the gall did indeed affect gall weight and volume, as well as the sclerenchyma layer thickness, but had no effect on the number of gall chambers. Again, I think that's because that's a parameter that's determined well in advance of any of the manipulations that we conducted. The second hypothesis was that gall quality will differ among chestnuts, independent of the source strength. And we see that gall quality did indeed differ between the Chinese chestnut varieties, and that Dunstan appeared to be a better host plant for Asian chestnut gall wasp with respect to gall weight and gall volume, the number of chambers, which again is an indication of the growth potential of that population, as well as the thickness of that sclerenchyma layer, which is an indication of the nutritional quality. So Asian chestnut gall wasp gall quality does appear to be affected by source strength with respect to size and the nutrients available to the developing gall wasp larvae. The Asian chestnut gall wasp appears to be more successful on Dunstan chestnut, suggesting that Augustinus may be a more appropriate cultivar choice, not only for nut production, but as a potential candidate for genetic material for donation to bat cross programs for breeding American chestnut for restoration purposes. So I would like to thank the individuals that were responsible for helping me with this research, most notably Melanie Antonick, as well as my funding sources, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have. We're looking at natural enemy recruitment, certainly. I haven't got the parasitism data for this data set done yet, which is why I didn't talk about it. But we have demonstrated differences in natural enemy recruitment on Chinese chestnut versus American chestnut, certainly. And I think there's so much anthropogenic interference with that it's difficult to say what the natural rate of recruitment would be, given our data.
So you have any trends?
Well, the Chinese chestnut is manipulated, whereas the American chestnut is naturally occurring. And so the recruitment is much higher for Chinese chestnut, but I think, again, that's manipulated by humans. So.
How much of these resources for the gods come from other parts of the resources?
Oh, the question is how much resources go from other sources other than the source leaves? We haven't measured that, but that's a really, really good thing to consider. But we have not looked at that. So,
do you plan on doing any host selection experiments?
We are. We haven't got that far into it yet. There's so many things to look at. We haven't. So,
can I follow up?
Sure.
Do you think chestnut variety has a conditioning effect on host selection?
Does chestnut variety have a conditioning effect? I don't know that. My thought is yes. The chestnut varieties are strikingly different, even though they're all the same species. But so my thought would be yes, but I don't have any data to back that up. Richard?
You have time?
Yeah.
Does the gall influence the number of leaves? Or do they select certain stabs with more leaves?
The selection is by the female the previous year, so there are no leaves associated with those buds. And so so anyway, we're scheduled for a break right now, and I'd be happy to answer any additional questions, but I probably should let everybody free.